to go. Taco to
and a big queue.
Taco to go.
Taco to go. Trip Taco just $2.99. Comes with a big Q, this deal so fine. Brisket breakfast, so much to choose for $2.99. You really can't lose.
Taco to go, taco to.
This deal legit.
Taco to go, taco.
Only at Quick Trip.
Taco to go, taco to go, taco to go.
$2.99.
Audio courtesy of TNT. Where's Mitch going? He wanted to argue about something, now he wants to run off. What are you doing? Yeah, you're the one who had the great big take, buddy boy.
I didn't know I was doing. We were doing the opening segment.
We said the opening segment.
They said stay in here.
No, you know what happened.
I chose not to hear that.
I don't know what they said. And yeah, he got scared.
I chose not to hear that.
He gets scared. He gets nervous.
What am I scared of? What am I scared of? My takes?
It sounds like it for a second there because we were watching this, and I ain't gonna lie to you. They were up by like 14, and I was like, night night. And I just went to bed.
What was 9 with 58 seconds left?
Well, I didn't know that. I just rolled over and laid down. And so I woke up and went, holy Toledo. Boy, no lead is safe for the Indiana Pacers. Tyrese Halliburton hits that, what he thought was a 3, which, boy, you had to know. He had to be so disappointed that wasn't a 3. Because to have to go out there in overtime, Tone, now it's tied, and you did the choke sign, the Reggie Miller choke to the crowd. It's like, man, you better win that game. You better close that out. And I didn't realize that Aaron Nesmith was just going to go delirious.
Yeah, well, he had what looked to be a Eastern Conference Finals game one winner. Kevin Harlan called it a winner as it was going through. And it was one of the remarkable scenes at MSG that, like, we grew up with these crazy, crazy scenes at that venue. I know people get mad about talking about that venue like it's
the mecca of basketball.
Yeah, like it was always, it bothered me too. It always bothered me because I never understood it. I'd never been there until after college. In my whole life, all people talked about was how that place was just different. But they weren't good. They hadn't been good for so long. And then to have that moment punctuated with this crazy comeback, they thought they had won it. Reggie Miller is on the call, quite literally on the call, and it's all harkening back to the days of Reggie Miller pulling off that insanity against them with the, what, 9 points in how many seconds?
Like 16 seconds,
Something crazy with the steal.
Not to be confused with the 25-point fourth quarter he had the previous year.
So at the end of this, he hits the buzzer beater. It ties it. He thinks it's a 3, but they did the replay at a toe on the line. They mobbed him at the court, and he's doing the choke sign. And innocuously enough, Mitch is shaking his head already. All right, Mitch, let it ride, man. Let it ride.
I scaled it back a bit because he did say in the post game, which we might play later, that he thought it was a 3, he did it. I still think it's one of the corniest. I still think it's one of the corniest celebrations moving to the playoffs in the last 5 years.
I think it was one of the coolest things I've ever seen.
How is it corny? Because,
first of all, the way the shot goes in, it's the luckiest bounce he could possibly get off the back iron.
And then it's members' bounce. He owns the place.
And the second thing, to immediately go right to it when you get... I mean, again, when he thought he had the victory, that's one thing. But I initially had thought that when he had tied the game, I'm like, you still have a quarter of basketball to play, buddy. Get this done. Or like you said, you're going to have to be suffering the consequences.
But he didn't know that. He didn't know that's when it went down.
That's what I meant. I added that disclaimer.
You got another quarter of basketball to play, mister. You better focus. You're upset about that.
I'm just frustrated about this whole process of the Indiana Pacers of the last couple of weeks, how they went from the team that nobody would have thought would have made any sort of long playoff run. Now they're starting to look like the team that everybody's really talking about as like who could be the team to win the overall finals. And just this whole process of Tyrese Halliburton going from a guy who was good, like really, really good. Now he's a genuine super. I called him a fake superstar at one point. Now he's a real superstar.
Boy, this is some, I don't understand what this pent up anger with the Pacers. I mean, they play in Indianapolis.
I mean, they just beat the Cavaliers in 5 games. One of the best Cavs seasons ever.
No, but I'm more mad at the Cavs than I am at the Indiana Pacers.
That's kind of where I'm at.
Yeah. I'm not really mad at them. Like, I was watching, I know Miles Turner just got shut off like a faucet in the second half, but I'm watching that going, man, I like that guy. That guy's a lot of fun. I'd like to see him. Like, don't you understand what I'm saying there?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay.
But you're saying that's one of the corniest celebrations ever. That is,
guys.
Well, there's only one way to find out where it stands.
Yeah.
Here you go. Rank your corniest celebrations of the last 5 years, Mitch.
Okay. So we have number one is Jason Tatum's.
Yes.
We did it.
Yes. You had number to have two, Jason one. Tatum in there.
Number two is probably Tyrese, and then number three is probably Jason Tatum recreating the Kobe photo.
Yeah, Tatum last year was all sorts of embarrassing.
He tried to do the KG anything as possible.
So, and then he didn't win finals MVP, and then he didn't play in the Olympics.
So Tatum, Halliburton, Tatum?
Sure.
Boy, owning two of the top three spots. Yeah. Congratulations to Jason Tatum.
Well, now I got to know, who are your top three corniest NBA players?
We got
number one, Jason Tatum. I can't. There's got to be worse guys than Halliburton for two and three, but I can't think of them right now. Brooks is up there.
Damn it, I was going to say it to him.
Who are the Cavs' least favorite opponents right now, individually, other than Brooks? That's what I'm trying to think of.
Not themselves. What?
I'm struggling to think of, like, the third one. I'll come back to you with that one.
Jared Allen?
Oh, jeez.
According to someone we might have on later.
Oh, boy. I bet some people would say Kevin Durant.
I'm kidding.
Here we go. Top three biggest haters of the Cavs. Number one, Ken Carter.
Oh,
keep going.
I don't hate him. I'm just mad at him. There's the difference. You got to love something to hate it, though.
LeBron's been called corny by a bunch of people.
He just reads the first page of books. That's the worst thing.
That is corny, though. That is real corny. If you don't read books, don't act like you read books.
Made a commercial about
it. You don't need to sit there and... He did? I didn't see that. If you don't read books, don't read books. Don't act like you read books. I read like a book a year. We had a whole book club that one last summer.
Phil Still's book does not count
not
as a book
Phil
a year.
Not the Phil Still. Marks it up, though.
No.
The Beast does not count as a book a year.
I'm reading a book called Welcome to the Jungle Inn. Thank you very much.
About which 1960s college football coach
it is
this?
Not about a 1960s college football coach. Thank you very much. It is about... a gambling den in Youngstown. Thank you very much.
Can you imagine if
Murray, very close to the deer.
Can you imagine if Murray Warmoth,
the antelope killer,
Somehow there was
someone's got to keep
crossover.
His memory alive. That's a national champion. Someone's got to keep his memory alive. Tone, damn it, I'm gonna be the one to do it.
I thought that was one of the coolest moments. The fact that it wasn't a game winner,
but Murray Warmoth.
Last night, that way that Halliburton dribbled into the paint. Then
that was awesome. I can't believe Mitch is upset by that.
On a dime, he then dribbled back out to the three-point line, contorts his body, shoots it, thinks he won the game. So did Kevin Harlan.
Yeah.
The place is so stunned.
Kevin's was great. I was not listening to Kevin, though. I was listening to this.
I'd like to know if they were at the game or doing it
from Korea.
Yeah, because if they were at the game, they would have gotten punched in the face.
That audio is courtesy of Korean TV.
SPO TV.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's already Saturday night.
Find out if they were on remote, because there is no doubt if they were courtside and doing that. I mean, Larry David.
Oh, they're just,
and John Hamm, who was sitting courtside, would have strangled them.
They're just in an internet cafe in downtown Seoul.
That's amazing. I loved it so much.
Was it distracting to see Larry David in the purview of the TV the entire game? I could not stop watching him.
Really?
I'm missing basketball because I'm looking at Larry David just waiting for hilarity to ensue.
Keith still has to get a hold of him. I just wanted to find out the one thing about the one character that happens to have my name.
Says your name.
In the Curb Your Enthusiasm. Is that season? So which season is it?
It was two seasons ago.
Yeah. Was it with Mocha Joe? Yeah. I think it was during the Mocha Joe season.
Yeah.
And he says Ken Carmen.
Yes.
One of the characters' names is Ken Carmen, and he is known for listening to sports talk radio.
So like 2017, 2018, somewhere.
Because I remember, I was still wondering if Andy Roth was pulling my leg, because Andy's like, because he calls in, Larry David and Jerry Seinfeld have like called into Steve Summers, who's a legendary voice in WFAN. And so the guy listens to it, and that was when we were on CBS Sports Radio, so I was imagining... Or I wasn't imagining. Andy Roth basically put the idea in my head, and then off we went. and Keith Stowe has not been able to get, of all the guy who gets everybody, he got James Caan.
Mm-hmm.
He got James, yeah. That's right, he got James Caan on the afternoon show, and we're still trying to get Larry David. Either way.
And Owen Hart.
There's another question. I'm gonna. Tyrese Halliburton or Jalen Brunson? And the reason I asked, Pat Boyle, right before we went on the air, he's a big Knicks fan, which I got to tell you, I thought I was like, hey, I know a lot of Knicks fans. I might like them to win because I like my friends to win. I love when the Knicks lose because
it's incredible.
They win the second round against Boston and they're celebrating the streets. And like you got Pat Schrager and he's on ESPN and he's a positive guy and he's a likable guy. But he is like talking about this historical moment. I go, the second round is an historical moment? Really? Okay, it's your team, fine. And then they lose last night in Pat's state. This is one of the worst losses of my life. I'll be in seclusion. It's like, buddy, it's game one of the Eastern Conference Finals. And he did say that he still picks the Knicks to win the series, and they have the best player in the series between both teams, meaning Jalen Brunson. And Owen's like, I don't know about that. And I sat here and I thought, I go, yeah, I still want to say Jalen Brunson is the better player, the best player in the series. Tone?
Well, what's just absolutely crazy is I would go through these rankings all the time about the point guards in the Eastern Conference and in the NBA, and where's Darius Garland? And this year, Darius Garland was ahead of Halliburton, and by the regular season standards, he was ahead of Brunson, and then these guys have just turned into completely different players, you know, in the playoffs. 31 points last night, 11 assists for Halliburton. Obviously, Brunson, 43 points. He did turn it over a ton, did have 7 turnovers. But they had the lead. They had the commanding lead. They had a 9-point lead with like 55 seconds left. Then they had an 8-point lead with 41 seconds left. And they totally squandered it. Totally disastrous. And I'm just sitting here watching this Halliburton play. To see a dude dribble straight
lost
in.
Lost the dribble.
Then he turns around, dribbles out, then starts to pivot. And you know who's on him? Mitchell Robinson, who blocked his shot earlier in the game, where he was even on the microphone saying, it's tough to get a shot off over him. Like, that's how long. Remember, he had no problem with Jared Allen.
No.
But Mitchell Robinson had blocked his shot earlier. And on this play, Robinson is closing. So the Knicks, you're thinking the best of both worlds. He's not angled in the right way. He's got to get the shot off. And the dude somehow gets the all-time bounce. Now, you said luck, right?
I thought it was luck,
Basketball players will say, shooters bounce. It reminded me of Kawhi Leonard. Kawhi Leonard against Philly. That ended up resulting in them winning a championship with Toronto.
It did bounce like 20 feet in the air. There's got to be some luck involved.
Right, that's not the normal shooter's bounce when you having sky up in the air high.
And Lyman, you notice this, and Owen notices this. The choke sign ain't just about the perceived three-pointer. It's that they were down by 9 with 50-something seconds left.
Well, wasn't he staring over near where Reggie Miller would
be? I'm sure he was.
Just as a nice tribute. To Reggie, right? That's what that was.
Yes. Come on.
This is 3 heroic moments for Halliburton now in 3 successive series.
That's more than some of the top superstars in one career, let alone one playoff.
So you have to respect your elders. And Reggie Miller is one of his elders. He plays for the Pacers. I thought that was in that building. It was a great thing to do. It was a hell of a move. Even if it was premeditated. They was asked, right? You said he was asked if it was premeditated or not. This is Tyrese Halliburton on whether or not, real quick, whether or not it was premeditated.
In the moment, I mean, I wasn't like plotting on it or anything. Everybody wanted me to do it like last year at some different point, but it's just got to feel right. If I would have known it was a 2, I would not have done it. I think I might have wasted it. If I do it again, then people might say I'm like aura farming. So I'm not, I don't plan on using it again.
I love that. So I don't care. I love it. I love it that you're thinking about it the entire time and you get the chance to use it. Like Big John Thompson. Manly Fieldhouse is closed. Fantastic. Love it. Happy.
It just sucks.
Good for the Pacers.
It sucks that I think these playoffs have been amazing. I think they honestly have been the best NBA playoffs in like, I don't know, at least 5 years. It seems like this is an all-time heater that this sport is on. It just sucks that the Cavs aren't part of it, right? I mean, I bet a lot of Cavs fans are like, I'm not watching any of this.
I don't know, man.
I'm not paying attention.
I've been the guest on a lot of networks. They're saying different about the playoffs, about the NBA.
What do you mean?
Well, I don't know. You make fun of me all the time for going on Dan Dockage's show, and obviously. By the way, you were the last person to be a guest on Dan Dockage, so I don't even want
to
hear it.
Even Dockage has to be loving this. This has to be pretty amazing.
Put a damn winning team on the field.
Now, the Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima give their thoughts on what you might have missed about last night.
Well, despite my personal feelings of how last night's Knicks-Pacers game ended, it was one of the wildest finishes of these playoffs. A game in which the Pacers were down 17 points in the fourth quarter, down as many as 14 points with less than 3 minutes remaining. But the Pacers, as we saw in the Cavs series, remained resilient and made the comeback here. And they left New York Knicks head coach Tom Thibodeau in quite a state in the post-game press conference.
They can score the ball, but you know, Nesmith got loose. Halliburton hit big shots. You just can never let your guard down against them. No lead is safe.
I mean, Nesmith going 8-9 from three, and that barrage in the fourth quarter and overtime was just insane. I mean, we saw the exact same stuff happen to us. That is what is so crazy. This game was a breakneck pace to start. Nobody was missing. The Pacers came out just totally calm, just ready for the... you know, we talk about so many teams, especially in Cleveland sports history, not ready for prime time. Like, where did this Pacers team come from that they are unfazed by anything? Because they came out total control. And then the Knicks battled back. But the one thing we saw against the Cavs, the Pacers, they absorb every attack. And then they counter.
I think the two biggest things are that, number one, they had this playoff experience before getting the conference finals last year, winning game 7 in New York. And number two, you have a championship head coach in Rick Carlisle, who has been kind of forgotten among championship head coaches, but because it's been so long, but he's still right up there.
Saved his challenge for the end of regulation. Had he not have had the challenge, he would have lost the game.
Yep.
That was huge, too, because they were able to steal a possession based on a bad call. I do think this series, though, I think people are like, oh, the Pacers are going to cruise. I think this series is going to be...
Well, game 2 is a must win.
Long, bloody...
Game 2 is a must win.
Yeah, for the Knicks.
Okay.
I don't think if you go back to Indiana, I don't think you're salvaging both games like we thought the Cavs could do before getting blown out in game 4.
That's the way to put it. I mean, Lyman and I are the must-win merchants.
It happened yesterday
on the phone while you were in the library with baby Izzy as we were talking must-win.
It's definitely more of a game to must-win than like Minnesota for Oklahoma City. Minnesota could go down 2.
Taco just $2.99. Comes with a big Q, this deal's so fine. Brisket breakfast, so much to choose. For $2.99, you really can't lose. Taco to go. This deal legit. Taco to go. Only at Quick Trip. Taco to go. Taco to go. $2.99.
Duo, I think they could still go back against OKC.
Okay. That's weird because I would say that OKC is the better team of all of them.
I think they're the best team out of all four of them right now.
So
but
why
I think
would it be easier for Minnesota to come back?
Because Minnesota, I think, is better than the Knicks. Well, closer to the Thunder than the Knicks and Pacers level would be. I'm trying to get that calculated in my head as I currently speak.
I don't agree with that. I think the Knicks and Pacers are more closely put together than what the... But I think the difference is negligible. Either way, I don't want to get you bogged down.
That's all right.
Right on ahead.
That's all right. Yesterday's game... The game and a half yesterday was a bit of a bog in that cold, dreary Minnesota weather. But we got some Guardians baseball in, and it started bad. We lost on a walk-off on a Cody Clemens 6-5 loss. That put the Guardians losing streak to 5 games, which was immediately snapped by a 5-1 victory for the Guardians. Carlos Santana had 2 home runs throughout the 2 games yesterday, and a big start from Gavin Williams, who went 6 innings, 6 strikeouts, only 2 hits, 1 earned run.
Needed that.
Stephen Vogt talking about Williams' start.
We needed it. You know, this is 2 years in a row in Minnesota. He's come out and been the stopper. You know, Gavin steps up for us, and it just shows you a lot about who he is. I thought, you know, the mix of the fastballs, you know, threw a couple sinkers, cutters, along with the four-seam, and Hedgie called a great game for him. So really, really pleased with Gavin.
Not just for Gavin's sake, you needed to stop that losing streak.
Yeah, they had 6 games. It was starting to get pretty desperate. It was starting to get pretty damn desperate. And then they're down by what they started out.
They were down 5-2 in the ninth inning,
yes.
Game 1.
And it was a nice little comeback there. And then the Cade Smith conversation, I almost called him Cody Allen. Cade Smith conversation, that's done. Are we having that? Not like
him as the closer.
Yeah, like the whole, well, he's got to replace Emmanuel Clase. Like the people are awfully silent about that.
Especially the hey, let's just swap their roles conversation. That can be
because
that can die right now.
Because to me, and Owen's going to agree with this. That's as silly as the swapping out offensive lineman. Like, oh, it plays guard so he can play left tackle. It's like, no. You can't just swap out roles. So you have to hope, especially now, you have to hope that Cade Smith can get his control back, and he will, or just get his being able to stop people back because he's clearly throwing strikes if he's getting hit around, and that Emmanuel Clase continues to return to some of that form that we've been able to know him of. I don't know if he's ever going to be as dominant as he was over the last couple of years, because eventually the book is out on you with a lot of closers, but you're hoping that he can return to some form, because this is, again, this is a pivotal weekend here. You have a series here coming up with the Detroit Tigers on the road starting tonight, and then, of course, you welcome in the Los Angeles Dodgers to start off next week. I mean, this is a pivotal moment for the Cleveland Guardians.
And just the Gavin thing, it's been a roller coaster throughout the season, but for him to come through in that way at least gives you some optimism, because had he have gotten roughed up yesterday and that losing streak continues, you would have been feeling very, very bad about their state of affairs.
I mean, they're in fourth place right now. Minnesota in second place currently in the AL Central. Also in baseball yesterday, we talked about David Fry's recovery yesterday in Akron. Yesterday in Columbus, another Guardians player making a splash.
High fly ball, deep left field, A.B., see you later. Lane Thomas joins the home run hit parade. And the Clippers now lead it 10-1.
What if I told you guys that was one of 5 2-run home runs that the Clippers hit in that third inning yesterday?
I'd say bring it on. That's awesome.
But Lane Thomas getting himself back into the mix, which is desperately needed for the Guardians lineup.
Did you ever believe it?
I'd say I didn't know that.
Did you ever say to anybody, Owen, because I saw a particular look of disgust on your face, did you ever say when you were younger, this is an A and B conversation, please see your way out?
Every day of my life.
I mean, it was never ending.
Moving on there, bud.
Sounds a very 90s saying you just said there. Finally, we had some audio yesterday from Up and Adams on FanDuel with Kay Adams talking to new Cleveland Browns rookie quarterback Shedeur Sanders. And Sanders talking about his experience through the quarterback room right now, naming some names for the Browns.
We all different characters. It's funny going there and seeing Joe every day. At a price, I'm like, wow, I'm really with Joe Flacco right now. Like, we're on the same team. That's cool. And then, of course, with Kenny, the experience he had being in the league for these years, it's cool just seeing the process of it. And Deshaun, of course, he's active in there. He's in all the meetings, so it's cool talking to him.
You know, outside the room, people try to put us against each other, but like inside the room, like we know we won.
He's in the meetings together. It's cool talking to him.
Has it been hard for him to memorize all the names of the quarterbacks he's competing with? Oh, there's another one. Boy, this is a very crowded room. Somebody get the air conditioning going in the quarterback room. It's getting kind of hot in here. Yeah. There's 20 of us. It has to be so weird.
I mean, there's 5 of them, for crying out loud. Fine, if you want to throw in the other guy, fine. There's 5 of them. Like,
he at least said his name.
Like, there's not a lot of DBs. Like, are there more DBs or are there more quarterbacks for the Cleveland Browns? Like, only one can play the position at the time. Like, you can't just be like, well, he'll play nickel. Like, you can't do that.
So here's the thing. He seems to have such a good attitude about this. And it does seem like if ever there was a way to humble the Sanders family, which, you know, I thought was a little ridiculous, too. I think all these guys get humbled the minute they come into the NFL and have to learn how to compete and how to go out there and win a job. But with all that said, like, right now, they're all happy-go-lucky. At what point does that turn to competition?
This is getting like,
to be... Can you do it being a...
July 24th.
Like, can you come in and act buddy-buddy with everybody? Or at some point, does he have to flip a switch and try to compete? Because he's got to try to take the job.
I think you're already doing that with the buddy-buddy, right? You're starting to plant the seeds of, hey, we're getting ready to get into it.
Yeah.
If like, you plan, it's Survivor Quarterback Edition.
Like, honestly... Can Dylan Gabriel and Shedeur Sanders, can they both be so cool throughout this whole process? Or does there have to be an edge at some point?
If you're Dylan Gabriel, you're probably sitting there going, why the hell did you draft me? What?
Of course you are.
If Deshaun Watson is any sort of serious, like Mary Kay's going to come on, and who knows what she is going to say, but I feel I'm not going to like it at 8:22 about Deshaun Watson being part of this mix with quarterbacks in 2025. But if you're Dylan Gabriel, it's like, what is the point? What was all this for? Like, you would, if you're Dylan Gabriel, how many other situations would you like to be in? As much as I think that this quarterback job, it's as good an opportunity to start immediately as basically anybody in the NFL, it's also like, man, it could have been a little bit better here, because now you got five of these guys. How are you going to divvy up these reps with the four of them? The other guy ain't going to do anything in training camp, but still, how are you going to divvy up the reps with the four of them? What do I do if this guy is going to be some sort of a viable option when he's in the building? What is this? What the hell is this?
This is the end of About Last Night.
Outstanding. Just as soon as I thought I knew the answer, Mitch changed the questions. Bad night for you last night. Speaking of About Last Night, Tone, not very good.
It was a rough one. Of course, I was getting it from the wife because I was not up to help out with the daughter because I slept through it. But that woke me up, and then it was a problem.
Throw another log in the fire on that.
Because apparently at like 12:45, Izzy demanded help. She was talking about the bugs.
She's afraid of the bugs.
She demanded a restful night's sleep.
She was none too happy about the bugs, which, of course, we know as midges.
Yeah.
Right now, it is a particularly rough time for the infestation of midges, especially in our posh waterfront community, as you know. it's really bad. Like, it's everywhere. Like, when we go outside, I mean, she's complained about, they're in my mouth. Like, they will swarm. That's how many. They're just over the place.
She's got midges in her mouth.
We have our nice vinyl fence, Kenny. That's all you see. Our white vinyl fence looks black.
Oh, yeah, that's horrible.
Looks black right now with the amount of midges.
Don't they all die on the fence and you got to sweep them up or whatever?
Oh, yeah. I've been hosing them off a little bit. But, of course, they love the water. They absolutely love the water. They love Lake Erie. They love our healthy water.
Yeah, everybody said this is a sign of a healthy life. Yeah.
It's like a day at Geauga Lake at the Lima house. God.
So what do you tell her? What did you tell her last night?
She had nightmares.
Night?
So she...
Trip Taco just $2.99. Comes with a big queue, this deal so fine. Brisket breakfast, so much to choose. For $2.99, you really can't lose. Taco to go. This deal legit. Taco to go. Only at Quick Trip. Taco to go. $2.99.
Quite literally had nightmares about it. And, you know, we're making sure every time we've got to close the door as quickly as possible. Poor Mason, I think we got caught his finger a couple of days ago. Good news is they're supposed to be gone 5 to 10 days. That's the lifespan.
It's still, but 5 to 10 days, if you're having 5 days or 10 days of nightmares.
Yeah, we're on about day five of this right now. So that's the good news.
That's where I am looking right now. I just typed in Midges Cleveland, and all the news stations, it says 4 days ago they made their reports. So yeah, we're getting ready to cycle out of these.
Okay, so when's your graduation party
next
for the kids?
Sunday.
Next Sunday. So we should be in the clear by then.
I'm hoping they get out of here. But I did the classic mistake of, oh, it rained. It's been raining, so it should kill the midges, right? They should go away. And then Lima did some research, and apparently, no. Just means they're gonna.
They're born in the water. They live in the water.
Right.
Yeah. Yeah. They're hanging out.
I merely adopted the water.
Yeah.
They were born into it.
And now and it dries out and then they die.
Yep.
And then I just see them.
Then we get mayflies.
I see the videos of everybody just sweeping up dead midges.
Yeah.
And then we get the mayflies. And now you got the lantern bugs. Lantern flies.
Spotted
lantern flies. Yeah. And you got to kill those or do your best to kill all those things because they're supposed to.
That's your civic duty.
They're invasive. Yes.
Seasons in Cleveland? Oh, winter, construction, and midge season.
Well, usually when I walk into eight, like there have been. I thought this wasn't supposed to be an every year thing, though. It's every year.
Well,
multiple
we've worked
times.
Too hard on this damn lake.
Because wasn't it with Joba Chamberlain where they were like, hey, like this is a once in a so-and-so deal that you have to deal with.
Those technically weren't midges, were they?
Yeah, that's
those
something
were
else.
Canadian soldiers?
Were they the mayflies?
They might be mayflies. I don't know which one's which.
I have memories.
Look the same to me.
I'm telling you, I have memories when I was really, really young, going down to Municipal Stadium and just swarms. Like, it was one of the scariest things ever because you're in the big city.
Yeah.
You have this big Roman Colosseum, and now you're getting attacked. You're getting attacked. There's nothing you can do about it. And as a kid, I can understand why poor young Izzy is having these nightmares right now. That do you feel like they're just going to take Izzy. Over you?
Did you hold her until she falls asleep, or what did you do?
Anything to get her to stop crying, my God. Come on.
Did you take her, get out the Encyclopedia Britannica and say, look, this is, let me explain to you how long the life cycle is.
Nah, I think she feels midges. Like this is her life now.
Oh. Poor Izzy.
I mean, she just lives in a midge society.
These are real first world problems here.
Yeah.
That's what she has to deal with. Tush Push is back for 2025. I don't know what side of the fence you're on this.
I told you I'd rather never see the play again, but it wasn't because I thought it was unfair. It's just one team that dominates with it. And, you know, we had a playoff game that wasn't like marred because of it or whatever. Was it the Washington game? Where
they just, Washington kept jumping offside.
On purpose, yeah. Yes. And I said, oh, that's the end of the play. The NFL does not like that look.
That was when the ref said, we're going to just give them the touchdown.
Yeah, they were just going to grant them a touchdown if they continue to jump offside.
Well, it is a hell of a thing to do because Washington found kind of the cheat code because you can only go half the distance to the goal so many times before you're not even moving the ball. So that's a great idea by Washington. I think it's frustrating, though, because Philadelphia, it looks like such a simple play. There's two guys behind a quarterback. Everybody dives in. People give up behind the running back, and you push him forward. And they're the only one that seems to be able to do it with any high rate of success. Like, we've tried it. We failed. I know that somebody might have called their own number on doing it, and they failed. I know that we've tried pitch outs before, and those have been somewhat successful but have failed. And I know other teams have done it, too. People say safety. I don't believe any of that. I don't believe anybody cares about offensive or defensive linemen in professional football. I think it's an ugly play that people don't want to see, but I also support it because I like finding different ways to stop things. I like that Washington stopped it. But when the vote is 22-10, I start to think, okay, this will be the last year. This will probably be the last year that they do it, and then it'll get to 22. They'll get the 24 votes by next year. I was glad that the Browns voted to keep it. And I want to ask Mary Kay about that coming up at 8:22, which might have gone into it because maybe Kevin Stefanski had something to do with it. I know there is a Philly-Cleveland connection. Maybe that had something to do with it. We know that. But either way, I think that it's, to me, it is a great, how bad do you want it? If you can't earn it, then you can't earn it, then you don't deserve to win. I like the test. I like the test of 11-on-11 and getting that yard, getting the first down. And also, I think we need to talk about the slippery slope that what happens here when you do legislate something like that. Because what is the rule about a push? How do you put the legalese in the push where you can outlaw a tush push for a quarterback, but then you can keep it perfectly legal for an offensive lineman or a group of offensive linemen to push a running back across the first down or across the goal line? Like we've saw, didn't Jerome Ford get a first down that way years ago, a couple years ago in that Ravens game, I think it was, with Joe Batonio and everybody running behind him and pushing him forward?
Well, we've had a lot of plays where David Njoku.
Fuck, Kareem Hunt got a touchdown that way.
Threw Njoku into the end zone in Cincinnati.
Yes. And we pushed piles like 40 yards. I think the difference with this one to me is it just got so automatic that it really was at the start of every series for them. They didn't need 10 yards. They only needed 9 yards because they had perfected it. And I know it's not their fault for perfecting it. There was a question, did this look like a football play? I never thought the injury concern was legitimate. And I think that's what Jason Kelce got up and talked yesterday to while they were getting ready to vote on this and made his pitch.
Yeah, this is
and
Kelce I totally from agree his with podcast him. Talking about why he wanted to talk to him.
I'm actually going to Minnesota. Some of the owners and coaches hinted that the reason I stopped playing was because of the tush push and that I got hurt on the tush push. I'm just going to answer any questions people have about my partaking in this play. I don't care whether it gets banned or not. If they vote to ban the tush push, the Eagles are still going to run quarterback sneak at a very high percentage. I'll tell you this right now. I'll come out of retirement today if you tell me all I got to do is run 80 tush pushes. Do you think it's weird that I'm going? Should I go? Should I not go?
I think you're doing Philadelphia and the Eagles organization right by going in here and representing that it's not what people are making it out to be.
I didn't know that's audio from the New Heights podcast. I didn't realize that you can go and present something like it's Congress.
Yeah.
Because if you can do something like that, then it.
This story from Jeremy Fowler said they Lori and Kelsey spoke for an hour yesterday.
I will filibuster to change certain calls in the NFL. I do not agree with spot fouls on PI. I think it's an easy, I think it's a cheat code to get a first down on third down and long. I think it's, I don't like just giving all that up. Usually I feel that, and some people say, well, if it's only a 15-yard penalty, guys are going to grab all the time. Usually when guys grab, I would say it's usually in the first 10 yards anyway, especially on out routes and things like that. So I don't think that that's the issue. I just don't like spot fouls on PI. Like, I don't think you should be rewarded for throwing it somewhere in the vicinity and having it all of a sudden at first and goal at the 5-yard line because of something like that. I think it should be a 15-yard penalty, and you should go out and have to earn the offense out of it. But there's, I'm sure there's other things. If you're giving me an opportunity to go out there and state a case in a forum in front of a bunch of owners, I would love to do such a thing. I didn't realize that Jason Kelsey or anybody could go out there and go to their meeting and present the case of why to keep or get rid of rules or keep or let go of rules or all the other stuff.
Trip Taco just $2.99. Comes with a big cue, this deal so fine. Brisket breakfast, so much to choose. For $2.99, you really can't lose. Taco, taco, taco. Taco, taco. This deal legit. Taco, taco, taco. Only at Quick Trip. Taco to go, taco to go, taco to go. $2.99. Taco to go.